and democratic, let's say, behavior, and ready to engage with the regional powers. And Pakistan, through Afghanistan, can have access to the Central Asian markets, because it is one of Pakistan's desire to be a hub of regional activities and a bridge between Central Asia and Southwest Asia. So without Taliban, without Afghanistan being a stable state, it is almost impossible for Pakistan to realize its economic ambitions or dreams or potentials. So the best scenario for Pakistan would be to play a very constructive role in Afghanistan. Try to convince Taliban if they take over, and in my reading, it's just a matter of time before Taliban take over Afghanistan. Then Pakistan should engage Taliban and try to exercise positive influence on Taliban so that they can engage with the regional countries. And they should not interfere into Iran or Central Asians or Chinese domestic affairs. That could be the best scenario for Pakistan, to have a stable Afghanistan under pro-Pakistani Taliban regime.
On that note, I would like to thank Professor Iqbal for his precious time and knowledge. Now let's see how the people have reacted on social media and cyberspace on the consequences of the US retreat from Afghanistan and the kidnapping of the Afghan ambassador's daughter in Islamabad.
Shah Mahmood Qureshi is among those who believe that the fate of Pakistan and Afghanistan are connected, and if they focus on their similarities, they may yield better results. Mir Tarar says, no matter how hard Pakistan tries to help in the issue, Islamabad ends up demonized by the international community. Samar Harun Bilur has a seemingly realistic approach about the issue, highlighting that if we can help establish peace in Afghanistan and Pakistan, the whole world will be a better place. Salman Inqilabi wants to underline the fact that everything that is happening in the region, be it Afghanistan or Pakistan, is the result of 20 years of US military occupation of the region.
And that was our episode on the repercussions of the fast-paced US retreat from Afghanistan for Pakistan, especially now that ties are sour between Islamabad and Kabul. We shall meet again next week. So till then, take care.
In the limelight.
Britain's Health Secretary Sajid Javid has provoked a wave of anger from families of the victims of COVID after he said people must no longer cower from the virus. The Health Secretary announced on Saturday, 24th of July, that he had made a full recovery from COVID-19 after falling ill 8 days ago and said, "Please, if you haven't yet, get your jab as we learn to live with rather than cower from this virus." The article you're about to hear has been written by the Guardian columnist David Connett. The piece is titled, "Sajid Javid's Advice to Not Cower from COVID Provokes Backlash." Britain's Health Secretary Sajid Javid has provoked a wave of anger from families of the victims of COVID-19 after he said people must no longer cower from the virus. The Health Secretary announced on Saturday, 24th of July, that he had made a full recovery from COVID-19 after falling ill 8 days ago and said, "Please, if you haven't yet, get your jab as we learn to live with rather than cower from this virus." Joe Goodman, the co-founder of the COVID-19 Bereaved Families for Justice, said Javid's comments are deeply insensitive on a number of levels. Not only are they hurtful to bereaved families, implying our loved ones were too cowardly to fight the virus, but they insult all those still doing their best to protect others from the devastation this horrific virus can bring, she said. The Labour Party accused him of denigrating people who followed the rules to protect others, while the Liberal Democrats told him to apologise to those who have shielded because they are particularly vulnerable to the disease. David Lammy, the Shadow Justice Secretary, called into question the Health Secretary's use of the word cower, in words echoed by Labour Deputy Leader Angela Rayner. 129,000 Britons have died from COVID under your government's watch, David Lammy wrote. Don't denigrate people for trying to keep themselves and their families safe. The Liberal Democrats' health spokesperson, Munira Wilson, said Sajid Javid's tweet was outrageous while thousands remain in hospital with COVID. His careless words have insulted every man, woman and child who has followed the rules and stayed at home to protect others, she said in a statement. He owes them all, especially the millions who are shielding, an apology. Ian Blackford, the Scottish National Party's leader in Westminster, said, "Cower from this virus? Really, the job of government is to keep people safe, to show empathy with folk, to seek to protect people when necessary. This is not acceptable. You might want to reflect and think about your role as Health Secretary in England." Ministers have been criticised over the past weeks for undermining the public health campaign against COVID by giving mixed messages about the coronavirus. Public health expert Debbie Swithart said his remarks would be painful to read for those who were severely ill and those who lost loved ones to COVID-19. The professor at the University of Edinburgh wrote, "It wasn't because they were weak, just unnecessarily exposed to a virus. And wanting to avoid getting COVID isn't cowering, it's being sensible and looking out for others." Javid tested positive on 17th of July for a coronavirus infection that ultimately sent Prime Minister Boris Johnson and Chancellor Rishi Sunak into isolation as contacts. They are due to finish quarantine on Monday. In a video posted on Twitter on Saturday 17th of July, Sajid Javid wrote, "This morning I tested positive for COVID. I'm waiting for my PCR result, but thankfully I have had my jabs and symptoms are mild." Health Secretary Javid got the positive result from a lateral flow test he took after feeling a bit groggy on Friday night, 16th of July. He said he was self-isolating at home with his family. Meanwhile, the former Health Secretary Jeremy Hunt has said the situation was very serious. He said the government must be prepared to change directions if COVID cases continue to rise over the summer and into the autumn.
This is IRIB English Radio. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Life and personality of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Month of Wilaya from IRIB English Radio. Sayyid Ali al-Musavi al-Jazairi.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi al-Tahirin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear brothers and sisters across the world, I'm so glad and happy to be with you, and I hope that you are keeping well and you are doing well. Ana wa aliyun abawa hadhihi al-ummah. Ali and I are the parents of this nation, the Holy Messenger of God said. Love and knowledge are two qualifications which causes the father and mother to deserve the right of the position of authority and guardianship and direction over their children. We were talking about love and its meaning, and we said that love means to want someone only for the sake of themselves and to consume your time and energy and wealth without the expectation of the slightest reward. We said that in the typical friendships that we know in our lives, when you expect your friend to do you a favor back and give you a hand when you are stuck in a trouble because of a job and work that you had previously done for him, we cannot find the meaning and the instance of this sincere and pure love. But there is a smell of trade and deal and contract. Even when you like someone and you tell him or her that I like you, I love you, you don't expect them to keep silent and remain indifferent to you. So as you see, it is not the instance of the pure and sincere love, because there is a expectation here still. The pure and profound and sincere love means you want somebody only for the sake of themselves and not for any other reasons. The most manifest instance of such a pure and sincere love that we know in our world that we live in is parents. Parents want their baby only for the sake of this baby. A mother immediately after gives birth to her baby, while suffering pain, takes care of her baby, cleans the dirt of them, feeds them, protects them from warmth and chill, with eyes full of tears of joy and with a heart full of mercy and love and compassion, without expectation of the slightest reward, neither a simple smile nor a short sentence of thank you. This is the purest instance of love ever that we know in the world of ordinary human beings that we live in. This pure and sincere love, beside the experience and the knowledge and awareness of what is good and beneficial for the baby and what is bad and harmful for the baby caused the father and mother to deserve the position and the right of the authority and wilaya over their children. Brothers and sisters, now the ground is well prepared to have a deeper understanding and comprehension out of the concept of wilaya and the divine authority. Wilaya and divine authority is a single coin with two sides. One side of this coin is help and support, is taking care, is direction and supervision. But the other side of the same coin is rules and regulations, is commandments and injunctions, is obligations and prohibitions. As kids get older, parents start ordering them around. Don't touch that. Come on, stay here. Don't go there. Eat this food. Don't drink that. Don't make friends with this guy. Make friends with this person. So the divine authority and wilaya over the kids brings the fact that parents have the right of protection and direction over their children. The divine authority and wilaya is a reality whose apparent and exterior aspect is ruling and controlling and guarding. To rule over the different aspects of the life of the loved one, to control their action, the action of their minds that are their thoughts, to control the actions of their hearts that are their desires and inclinations, and to control, finally to control their physical actions that are the fruit of their desires and thoughts. This love and knowledge demand a sort of dominance over the loved one in order to be able to channelize and control the way of their lives, their treatments and conducts in a special way which leads to their infinite and ultimate and desirable perfection and remaining them far away from what harms them. This is the meaning of the divine authority and guardianship. Inshallah, in the next programs, I'm going to complete this subject. So please bear with me. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and congratulations to all on the birthday anniversary of the Prophet's 10th infallible heir, Imam Ali al-Naqi al-Hadi, peace be upon him. And here is a wise saying of this blessed figure who reposes in eternal peace in Samarra in Iraq. The world is like a market in which some profit while others incur loss.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The light.
Tehran municipality has inaugurated an art garden that puts on display Iran's art and culture. As Youssef Jalali reports, the cultural facility aims to reconnect visitors with Iran's rich past amid increasing preoccupation with modern lives.
Sit back and enjoy the beauty of Iran's ancient culture. In Kushk Art Garden, located in the heart of Tehran, visitors get to learn about Iran's music, literature, painting, and calligraphy, far from the hustle and bustle of modern life. Kushk hosts Iranian artists who create masterpieces that have their roots in thousands of years ago.
Miniature painting has been around in Iran since thousands of years ago. In miniature, we paint flat images with a myriad of details. We avoid adding shades to make it as flat as possible, since in the past, Iranians believed that divine light gives shape to everything.
Metal engraving first stepped into existence 7,000 years ago in Iran. It is the art of incising decorations and metals. In this workshop, I will be available every day for visitors to see how I can turn metals into beautiful handicraft.
Kushk is part of a bigger project dubbed Art Garden. The cultural complex consists of an art lake, poem and literature house, music house, and Kushk garden, each trying to promote an aspect of Iran's culture. Tehran municipality says it inaugurated the peaceful place, for it says cultural identity has been overshadowed by modern technology.
This precious place was a much-needed initiative to preserve the Iranian art and culture. As time goes by, technology gets more and more intertwined with our daily lives, and our genuine culture slips into oblivion. We need to have such cultural centers that safeguard our cultural heritage.
The Art Garden is situated on Abbasabad Hills in downtown Tehran. In recent years, the area has turned into a tourist attraction that houses structures that combine modern technology with ancient culture, such as this large pedestrian overpass called Tabiat Bridge, and the Middle East's largest planetarium, dubbed Mina Dome.
Kushk will be the last piece of Tehran's art garden, and will be a hotspot for a range of cultural activities, all aiming to revive the ancient Iranian art and culture, which experts believe have become a lost piece in today's hectic life. Youssef Jalali, Tehran.
Palazzo Farnese is one of the most famous palaces in Rome and is being used as the French embassy. However, some of the rooms there are not open to the public. Now, an artist has come up with a creative way to show the historic building to everyone. An Italian artist known as JR has created a mural art installation on the French diplomatic mission in Rome. The artwork is equivalent to a virtual hole and shows what the building would look like if there were no outside walls. JR has conducted similar dazzling projects on other buildings, including a mural in the city of Florence, providing people with a sneak view of architectural masterpieces.
Cockatoos in Sydney suburbs have learned a new way to scavenge our food, opening wheelie bins with their beaks and claws. Australian researchers have found out that the parrot family birds are learning the ability from one another. Moreover, the scientists have discovered that cockatoos in different neighborhoods have distinct styles and approaches to pry open the bins. Although the birds opening bin lids seems to be a simple action, it shows a more complex behavior pattern that proves animals can learn, share, and develop subcultures. In some rural areas, online education during the pandemic seems a challenge, as students do not have access to smartphones. In the Indian state of Jharkhand, teachers have come up with an innovative idea to tackle the problem. Turning walls of houses into blackboards is the solution. Under this circumstance, students can learn in the open air while maintaining social distancing. Teachers use loudspeakers to manage the classrooms. Parents welcomed the idea as most of them could not afford a smartphone and a fine internet connection. They also built platforms for students to sit on while attending classes. There is a famous quote, one should always try to turn every disaster into an opportunity. A Swiss hiker with Parkinson's disease has put that saying into practice by hiking more than 1,100 kilometers across the Alps. Yves Aubusson, suffering from the disease for more than 16 years, completed the challenge in less than 100 days last year. During his journey, he scaled high-altitude peaks and crossed nearly 100 mountain passes. Aubusson says his first goal was to inspire fellow patients to be active even if they are gravely affected by the incurable disease. But he says his major motivation was to raise awareness of the debilitating neurological illness, which is little known.
What motivated me to do this hike is that I wanted people to know better this disease that is so little known. So I did something that I think was important and that maybe people will relate to. The fact that I did this hike, some people understood it more than I hoped. It went beyond our hopes.
The 52-year-old hiker, previously a professional golfer, is now planning for a new challenge that includes a bike and a tricycle. But he believes that if he could encourage other patients to do sports, he will definitely win his challenge. Burpees are one of the gym exercises that many consider it either a funny workout or simply avoid to do. But that's not the case with a Brazilian man who set a new Guinness World Record with 951 burpees in just 1 hour. Cassiano Rodriguez Liriano, a professional mixed martial arts fighter, completed this feat nearly a month ago that was later verified by Guinness record adjudicators. Liriano says he was driven by a promise made to his niece, Rebecca, who was born with a severe heart disease, and the gym set up a fundraising effort for her. Liriano had originally aimed for 1,000 burpees, but fallen short of that mark due to a leg injury he sustained 2 days before the feat.
I'm tired. It didn't go as smoothly as I thought it would go. I'm in so much pain now on my leg because I got hurt. But I'm very, very happy with the accomplishment and in being able to help my niece. So that's the most important thing.
Loriano has not met his family since moving to Singapore in May 2019. He says the only way he could help them is using his athleticism. The previous world record was held by a Canadian who performed 879 chest-to-ground burpees within the same time limit in March this year.
The light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
In the U.S., creative designers are trying to raise awareness about the environmental issues in a fun and playful way. A climate change-themed mini golf course has recently opened to public in New York City. It consists of 18 holes, each one featuring an environmental problem or a potential solution like habitat loss, energy inefficiency, and emissions. Designed by local artists, the course is made with recycled materials.
Climate change and the environment are such important topics right now and important issues that faces all of us now and will face us in future generations. So by bringing the environmental issues to the forefront in a fun, playful way like mini golf, it really sparks the conversation and helps folks understand the scope of the issue.
Visitors have welcomed the idea, saying it's both entertaining and educational. Organizers say all of the money made from the golf course will go to two local environmental groups. Let's go to Ukraine to meet the world's oldest tennis player, who has been playing the sport for over half a century. Leonid Stanislavski, now 97 years old, has competed in various world championships. When he was a 30-year-old gymnast, he started training tennis three times a week. The Guinness World Record holder is now practicing for the 2021 Super Seniors World Championship, which will be held in Mallorca, Spain. Stanislavski believes that people can play tennis at any age.
It's an elegant type of sport. It's good physical exercise. It is a beautiful game, and there is one more thing about tennis. You can play tennis no matter what age you are.
The world's oldest tennis player revealed his secret to a long life, a combination of good genes and regular sport. His goal is to live to 100 years old and take on prominent tennis player Roger Federer. The old athlete also wishes to make a parachute jump. The largest museum in the world dedicated to the study of space has made its debut in Shanghai, China. Inspired by the orbits of celestial bodies, the layout of the building has no straight lines or right angles. The museum, designed by New York-based Anid Architects, is intended to create an immersive experience for visitors to engage in a real astronomical phenomenon. For instance, visitors can take a trip into a starry night in the optical planetarium theater.
What we aim to create is a real environment for people to look up to the starry sky. To achieve this goal, we've installed a high-precision planetarium projector at the center of the theater, which can project the sharp spots of stars on the screen with countless optical fibers. The demonstration effects are very vivid.
After moving through the museum's galleries and curved hallways, the final area visitors pass through is the sky space of the Inverted Dome. The viewing area of the Inverted Dome is about reducing almost all separation between people and the stars. The opening follows a five-year construction process in the city's Lingang district.
French artist has created a huge cardboard installation in the shape of a hanging bridge. The artwork is 18 meters in length and hovers above Rome's Tiber River with the help of three gigantic helium-filled balloons. Olivier, who created the work, was inspired by famous Italian Renaissance architect and sculptor Michelangelo. The Italian master had been tasked with the constructing a bridge on Tiber to connect the gardens of the Villa Farnesina to the Farnese Palace. However, He died before he could complete the venture. Now Michelangelo's mission has been accomplished centuries after his demise by one of his admirers. Every year, a lot of animals lose their life due to various kinds of accidents, but some of them are lucky enough to get a second chance. Perseus, the Greek cat, is one of them. The stray feline was taken to a vet in the city of Larissa last year after a terrible accident. The vets had to perform 3 surgeries, but Perseus lost the same number of limbs. However, he managed to stay alive and was given prosthetic legs. Perseus has adapted perfectly to his new limbs and now uses them to get around. He has also managed to snatch the heart of his saviors as visitors at the clinic where he cured have grown. The Japanese art collective has created a mesmerizing environment in a forest where nature and technology come together. In the mountains of Kyushu in southern Japan, the nature comes to life after the dark. Flowers and trees are illuminated in a glowing ripple shine, while rocks turn colorful with light installations. A waterfall made of light pours gently on a bright rock. Some rocks have calligraphy, and artificial pond projects colorful fish too. The artists behind the work say their aim is to unite technology and nature.
The thing is, sometimes people think it's a digital and nature is completely it's against each other. But in the same time, we think it's in the digital and the nature is it's quite easy to it's merged.
The Japanese team also wants to raise awareness about the original beauty of the nature, which they say is often ignored. To remind people of that, they hold exhibitions combining projections, sound, and carefully designed spaces. So far, the group has organized several art shows of this kind.
Singapore unveils one of the world's biggest floating solar panel farms in a bid for quadrupling its solar energy production by 2025. The farm is as big as 45 football fields. It includes 122,000 solar panels. The panels are designed to last for 25 years, and drones will be used to assist with maintenance. The farm is located on a reservoir in western Singapore and will generate enough electricity to power its 5 water treatment plants. It puts Singapore among the few countries in the world with a water treatment system fully powered by green energy. The farm can reduce Singapore's carbon emissions by 32,000 tons annually. Floating solar panels perform up to 15% better than conventional rooftop panels. That's because of the cooling effect of water and that shading from other buildings does not affect them. Singapore is currently developing 4 other floating solar panel projects.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Most High, dear friends, Salamun Alaikum. And welcome to today's special from IRIB English Radio on a special day. Today is the birthday anniversary of Imam Hadi, peace be upon him. Congratulations to all dear Muslim brothers and sisters.
Eid al-Sa'id.
Today, Monday, is the 15th of Zilhijjah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 4th of Mordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 26th of July, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Again, thousands of congratulations on the birthday of Imam Hadi, peace be upon him.
باركوا يا حباب نور العيد جانا فيه فرحة نبلقاكم طيبين والسعادة بالأحبة وهم معانا عايدون يا عساهم عايدين.
إمام هادي's epithets. His epithets expressed the high qualities he possessed. His epithets are At-Taqi. That means pious, devout. He was called so because he feared Allah and turned to him. The Mutawakkil, the tyrant Abbasid Caliph, tried his best to attract Imam Hadi alayhi salam to the fields of amusement and debauchery, but he failed. The other epithet of Imam Hadi is Al-Murtaba, means being pleased with Allah. It was his most famous epithet. And Al-Faqih, that means jurisprudent. He was the most informed person of his age in jurisprudence and was the authority that jurisprudents and scholars turned to. The other one is Al-Alim, that means knowledgeable. He was the most knowledgeable one among the people of his time, not only in the Islamic laws, but all branches of knowledge and sciences. Al-Rashid, that means wise and prudent. Imam Hadi alayhi salam was called so because he was the wisest and most prudent of his time. Al-Shaheed, that means the martyr, because he was martyred at the hands of the enemies of Allah. And Al-Wafi, that means loyal. He was the most loyal of his people, and loyalty was a key element of his personality. Dear brothers and sisters, dear Shia Muslim brothers and sisters all around the world, congratulations on the birthday anniversary of our dear Imam, Imam Hadi alayhi salam. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin astain. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with Imam al-Hadi's moral conduct. Imam al-Hadi al-Islam, as the 10th infallible Imam, was a perfect man in his lifetime and in the time of his imamate. And at the same time, it must be indicated that he was one of the most pleasing people in terms of communicating with others. This is remarked by Ibn Shahra Ashub in his magnum opus Manaqib ala Abi Talib. Those people who had the opportunity of meeting up with Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam remembered him as one of the most impressive personalities, both in terms of speech, in terms of reasoning, and in terms of piety. And those people who never had the opportunity of meeting up with Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, but rather heard about him, described him as a very magnificent personality. It was expected to be so because he was an infallible imam, and any of the infallible imams, any of the 12 infallible imams, resembled the fine qualities and moral traits of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the same time, it must be indicated that in terms of knowledge and in terms of piety, he was really an exemplary personality in his lifetime, such that Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam recommended others, especially his peers, to be truthful and at the same time to be very pious. We find that Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam intended to educate other people by means of his moral conduct. And this is enough that Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam instructed two important pilgrimage prayers, that is ziyarat texts, to his peers. So one was Ziyarat-e Jami Kabira, and the other one was Ziyarat-e Ghadiriyya, that is the ziyarat specifically addressing Imam Ali alayhi salam on the day of Ghadir Khum. Thank you.
Children are wearing new clothes, bright colors fill the streets, their faces full of laughter, their pockets full of sweets. Let us rejoice indeed, this is the day of Eid. Let us rejoice indeed, for this is the day of Eid.
Two chapters of his life. Imam Hadi alayhi salam has said, truly, Allah has placed this world a place of testing and examination, and the hereafter a place of rewarding and punishment. And the examination of this world leads to the reward in the hereafter, and the reward in the hereafter is the result of the examination in this world. This world is a place of cultivation, and the hereafter is a place of harvesting and reaping the crop. The hereafter is not the prologue, it is the end result. It is like a day when students hear the result of their exams. Indeed, the period of man's existence is similar to a year of work. This world and the next is like one of two seasons. This world is the reason of planting and acting, and the hereafter is the season of harvesting, the end result, and a time to receive punishment and reward for our actions. Delightfully put, Imam Hadi alayhi salam has said in a prayer, may we be among the crowd who gain and receive the reward of the hereafter. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, especially this program today is a special, except our congratulations on the birthday anniversary of Imam Hadi alayhi salam. Happy Eid.
Eid al-Sa'id, let's enjoy this happy day. Eid al-Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate. Eid al-Sa'id, let's enjoy this happy day. Eid al-Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate, celebrate. Let's celebrate. Allah, Allah, thank you for this day.
Allah's deputy, seeking means of Allah's beloved. During the reign of Mutawakkil, Imam Ali al-Naghi, peace be upon him, felt very ill for some time. The Imam knew his cure would be in the pilgrimage to the shrine of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him. Thereupon, he asked a group of his companions to go to Karbala. There, the selected group would pray for the Imam and ask Allah for his health to return. Companions of Imam Ali al-Naghi, peace be upon him, discussed the matter and returned to the Imam, saying, O son of Allah's messenger, your status is better than that of Karbala's, because you are the Imam of the time. Your prayer is certainly answered. How will our prayer in Karbala have any effect upon you? The Imam replied, there are positions for Allah in that he prefers for worship to be done there. Although the status of the Messenger of Allah was higher than the Kaaba, yet the Prophet would still circumambulate the Karbala. There are certain places that if one prays, Allah will accept and answer his prayers. The shrine of Imam al-Hussein is therefore the same.
A man by the name of Abdul Rahman from the city in Iran called Isfahan. He was a devout lover of Al-Imam Salamullah Alayhi, of Ahlul Bayt. He was asked, why is it that you love Aliyul Hadi Alayhi Salam? You consider him as an Imam. When there are so many denominations, so many people calling for justice or righthood, many people, even in this day and age. Look at the Islam alone. So many denominations, each one claims to be the truth. Why is it that he is the one? He says, when I was young, I was very poor, but I had a sharp tongue. Sharp tongue. So one day they kicked me out of the city of Isfahan. They told me, don't come back here anymore. And in fact, they forced me to go all the way to the Khalifa in Samarra. They wanted to complain of me. He says, when I was there at the Khalifa's court, I saw people kind of going in, coming out. Something didn't look normal. I asked, what's going on today? Something doesn't look normal today. They told me the Khalifa al-Mutawakkil al-Abbasi has summoned a man by the name of Ali al-Hadi, salamullahi alayhi. I told him, who is this man Ali al-Hadi? They said, he is of the descendants of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And the Shia, they consider him as an imam. This is their imam. He said, I wanted to see, who is this man? What does he look like? Why is everyone so concerned? People are going back and forth. And they told me, this person I asked, he told me, the Khalifa has ordered him to come. And maybe we're thinking he wants to kill him. That's why. We're thinking he wants to kill him. He said, I sat there. I was waiting for this man to arrive. He came. When I saw him, when I first saw him, his love fell into my heart. Just looking at him, subhanAllah. His love fell in my heart. And I started to pray to Allah, Ya Allah, protect him from this ruler. Save him from this ruler. Don't let him get hurt. I started praying. Between me and myself, nobody knew. Quietly, silently. He said, I saw this man. He walked by me. He looked at me and smiled and said, Allah has accepted your dua and he will reward you for this dua with long life and prosperity and wealth and children. He said, when he told me this, I fell down. How did he know what was going through my mind? He said, people told me, what's the matter? I said, nothing, nothing. And he will be blessed in dunya and in akhirah. This Abdul Rahman says, I was not a follower of the Imam. I was not one of his followers. But the mere looking at him, his love fell into my heart. He says, indeed, Allah saved him. He was not killed. He left. And I was released. I came back to Isfahan. All of the sudden, money started to come at me, right, left, and center. To the point where one room in my house, in one room, I have what we call today 1,000,000 dirham. And now I am over 70 years old. And I have 10 children. So everything he said about me has been fulfilled. And he read my mind. So indeed I will follow this man. Because he is haqq.
The time is over. Thank you very much for joining us. Again, we offer our congratulations on the birthday anniversary of Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam. Thank you and fi amanillah.
We're here on this special day. Our hearts are full of pleasure. A day that brings the two of you close together. We're gathered here to celebrate a moment you'll always treasure. We ask Allah to make your love last forever. Let's raise our hands and make dua like the Prophet taught us. And with one voice, let's all say, say, say.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.